Hare Krishna, devotees. How nice to be here with you all on this beautiful day. We'll read a verse from Bhagavad Gita. Just repeat after me first. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So Hare Krishna devotees.
Hare Krishna.
Yes. Here at ISKCON Lake Xanadu. So I thought, you know what I thought? Well, I was looking at this picture, or this mirror. Yeah, very beautiful, so nicely done. Krishna, with his hand, it's in, maybe it's the yogurt, actually. Anyway, yogurt, butter, whatever. And you know what Krishna is doing there, Shreya? What's Krishna doing?
Eating butter.
Okay. And before he ate it, what did he do? He stole it.
Yes, he stole it.
Yes. Before eating, he's eating it now, whatever it is. But before eating it, he stole it. And now he's looking. Is he looking at you?
Yes.
He's looking at me, yeah. And his mother's there. And his mother's saying, you stole that butter. And Krishna is just about to say, no, how can you say that? I would never do such a thing. This is Krishna in a mischievous mood. So I just thought we could read a verse. I was looking at the picture. I thought we could read a verse from Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, chapter 17, The Divisions of Faith, text 15. Now it's an interesting point. Devotees don't read from the 17th chapter much, like in classes and things. They don't really, much at all. But there's some interesting points made here. Anyway, let's read this one and see. Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priya hitam chayat Swadhyaya vyasanam chaiva vanmayam tapa uchyate. It's a very interesting verse. Austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others. And also in regularly reciting Vedic literature. So let's read the purport here by Srila Prabhupada. One should not speak in such a way as to agitate the minds of others. Of course, when a teacher speaks, he can speak the truth for the instruction of his students. But such a teacher should not speak to those who are not his students, if he will agitate their minds. This is penance as far as talking is concerned. Besides that, one should not talk nonsense. The process of speaking in spiritual circles is to say something upheld by the scriptures. One should at once quote from scriptural authority to back up what he is saying. At the same time, such talk should be very pleasurable to the ear. By such discussions, one may derive the highest benefit and elevate human society. There's a limitless stock of Vedic literature, and one should study this. This is called penance of speech. I'll read the verse again. Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priya hitam chayat swadhyaya vyasanam chaiva vanmayam tapa uchyate. Austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others, and also in regularly reciting Vedic literature. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyatyadeshtane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gauravaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Vanchakalpataribhyascha kripa sindhu bhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Yes, so this verse is about, I could say actually, there's a few verses here which are describing different types of austerities. There are austerities of the body. This is austerity of speech here. And then there's austerities of the mind. And in verse 17, this is verse 15 we're looking at. In verse 17, Lord Krishna says, Shradaya paraya taptam tapastatri vidam narai apala kangshibir yuktai satvikam parichakshate. This threefold austerity performed with transcendental faith by men not expecting material benefits but engaged only for the sake of the Supreme is called austerity in goodness. So we want to progress in our spiritual lives and improve ourselves and become better devotees and better people. And in order to do that, there are, of course, there are many things, really. Main thing, actually, is to chant the holy names of the Lord. That's the main thing for purifying the heart and becoming free from unwanted types of attitudes and things like that. The tendency to become opinionated or just to be dominated by the mind. So we want to progress. And the good news is that we can, yeah, we can progress. Anyone can progress, including Shreya, nice little girl, my close companion. So, yes, so to progress, we really have to make adjustments in our lives. As I'm sure you've heard before, it's quite a well-known thing in ISKCON these days that Albert Einstein is supposed to have said that the definition or a definition of insanity is that we will continue doing the same things, but we will get a different result. This we hear is from Albert Einstein, anyway, whether it is or not, but I think it's a very good point. It really is. So many people, I even saw, maybe a week or two ago, somewhere I saw a cartoon. It's just a typical cartoon you see in the newspapers. I can't remember where I saw it, but I saw it. And there's this whole team of people, and they're having their employees in some business. Yeah. And there's an instructor there. You know, in the companies, they often get these people in to, you know, do a short seminar with the workers and try and get them to pick themselves up a bit. So in this one, someone in the audience, there's about half a dozen of them, with this trainer. And one lady in the audience she asks, the most important thing is, can you please tell us how to develop and improve everything while not doing anything different? Which is the same idea. It's insanity. It's just, it has to be. If you think about it, it's just absolutely absurd. So we should try to change, because we are all trying to be devotees, or, you know, sort of become devotees or like that. So there in Bhagavad Gita, in different places, there are instructions from Krishna of different things you can do and ways you can change. There's an interesting passage or verse, or maybe a couple of verses, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Just sit down like a good disciple and listen. Yes. That's it. So Krishna gives a list of things which, if you change them, you will change yourself or improve. Depends how you change them, of course. So he says, if you change the place that you live, you know, for the better, obviously, then you will improve. It will help you. You know, if you're living in a cupboard, this type of some dirty place or some noisy place, you know, it's an oppressive environment. But if you change to a nice place, it will help you develop. This is Krishna in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam speaking to Uddhava. And if you change your work in appropriate ways, that will help you improve. One devotee, a disciple of mine in Lithuania, such a nice devotee, he sold his car so he could take his family to Mayapur. Yeah. Then he came back. He didn't have a car. And he was a partner or something in a company selling sophisticated optical equipment for, like, in the medical, different medical fields. And he would have to go around and visit the different places, doctors or whatever, around this fairly big city. But now he didn't have a car. So what did he do? He started taking the bus. And in the buses in Lithuania, they play music very similar to the famous South African taxis. It's very loud. It's boom, boom, boom. Everything shakes as the vehicle approaches. So now, and the buses are very crowded. It's just, wall-to-wall people. And now he's there. And he used to chant some of his rounds while traveling on the bus under these circumstances. And he asked me, how do you chant nice rounds when the person in front of you is on your nose? The person on this side is leaning against you, and the person on that side, and the person behind you is sort of lurching into you, and there's this boom, boom, boom music. How do you chant your rounds nicely? I mean, obviously, that's a bit of an extreme example. It might not be that extreme for many people. But anyway, how do you chant your rounds nicely? And I told him, you don't. You get another job. So he did. And, he was much more free and easy and etc. So if you change your work appropriately, you can, in a better work situation, you can improve yourself. If you change the food you eat, then, you can improve yourself. If you change the company you keep, oh, that's a big one, yes, then you can improve yourself. If you change the literature you read, Krishna's listing out all these different things. If you change the sound vibration you hear, particularly, in all these cases, to the transcendental versions of those different things, and so on like that. And there's a few others also. So we should be interested and concerned, and we should really be trying to actively adjust our lives and ourselves so that we improve spiritually. It's very important. And this one here, these are three types of austerities. Austerity of the body, worshipping the Supreme Lord, the Brahmins, the spiritual master, and superiors like the father and mother, and cleanliness, simplicity, celibacy, and non-violence. And speech we just read about. Speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others. And also in regularly reciting Vedic literature. Then austerities of the mind. Satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control, and purification of one's existence are the austerities of the mind. So I'm just bringing it up because, this is quite practical. It's quite practical. on a regular basis, we're encountering situations, you know, like this, or oftentimes sort of challenging situations. Yeah. Where, for example, we might be encouraged to not be truthful. It happens sometimes. We get in a situation and we may feel that it would be advantageous if I told a lie. But it corrupts. It corrupts the heart. Yeah. Yeah. Or we may get... we should try and speak words which are pleasing, which are beneficial, not agitating to others. So we get into situations where people agitate us. It happens. And the tendency on the conditioned level is to turn around and give them, you know, one good turn deserves another. Give them a few, you know, appropriate words according to those standards. Such is life in this world. But the austerity in of speech would be in such a situation that if someone, this is an interesting one, if someone criticizes you that you're just a nonsense and you're just a this and that, and, you know, something of that sort, then a humble devotee, you know how a humble devotee could respond? This is an interesting idea. Humble devotee could respond by saying, "You are praising me. You don't know how bad I am. You're saying I'm a nonsense. I'm a super nonsense. So you're practically glorifying me." You see? Because actually it's true. I mean, in many ways, you know, we have histories, many lifetimes in this material world of doing all sorts of wrong things, and even terribly wrong things. So Krishna is listing out all these things, not just to give us something interesting or colorful to hear about, but he's giving us an opportunity. Look, try and do this, try and do that, try and do these things, and you'll improve yourself. And I was thinking about this, you know, I was really thinking about this, particularly the truthful part, when I was looking at that picture. You see, such a nice, you see the picture? Yeah, that's right. That's Krishna with the butter which he stole. So Krishna, Jiva Goswami, in one of his writings makes the point, it's a very wonderful point, that even when Krishna does bad things, they're good. What would normally within the material world where everything is abnormal, what would by material standards be considered bad? But when Krishna does it, it's good. Yeah. For example, here, Krishna's eating the butter, shall we say, or the yogurt, having stolen it. That's normally not good. But there's an explanation, I don't know if you've heard it. I mentioned it over the last few days, I can't remember where it was. Maybe it was Lanesha. That Krishna stole the butter. And sometimes the ladies would complain. And sometimes they'd come to Mother Yashoda and really complain. And so Krishna, you know, he's known as Makhan Chor, Dahi Chor, butter thief, yogurt thief, like this. But Do we know why Krishna's stealing the butter? Do you know? Is it just because he likes butter? You might steal sweet corn and paneer kachoris. He steals butter. It's just because we like these things, and he just likes butter. I used to know this devotee in London, Jagat Bandhu Das. He was Jamaican. And he would eat every day at one sitting a quarter kilo of butter. Just eat it. Just eat it. But normally for people it's difficult because it's just kind of too much. But now here's Krishna, he eats kilos of butter and he even steals it. And he just stole it there. So, but now why? Is it just because he likes to eat the butter because it tastes good and he just, that's his taste? No, the thing is that the cows, when they give their milk, all the cows, thousands of them in Vrindavan, they're all thinking, we want Krishna to get our milk. And they're milked generally by the ladies. Yes. Generally, it's an activity of the ladies. And the ladies, when they milk the cows, and then some they keep as milk, some they transform into other dairy products. When they're working on all of this, they're thinking, we want Krishna to get our different dairy products. And they're just meditating like that. And particularly the butter, the butter is kind of special because you have to churn it. I don't know if any of you girls are from farming backgrounds. I don't know if you ever churned yogurt into butter. It's not a small thing. You know, it's probably a good hour of working hard to get butter out of yogurt. And you know, you've got to really go for it. So, the ladies, while they're doing this, they're just looking at the yogurt as it's, you know, as they're working on it and watching it. And they're just thinking, we want Krishna to have this butter. And all their love is going in. So that butter is saturated with the love of the gopis, of the older gopis, the mothers. Yeah. And they're just feeling like that. And Krishna, what is Krishna's business? Just to taste love. To receive love and to give love. That's Krishna. So Krishna, knowing that this is what the ladies want, they really want it, and what the cows want also, Krishna would steal the butter. You know, you might think that, why didn't he just go and ask them, can I have some butter, please? But he didn't. He stole it. Because if the ladies, you know, they're living on the basis of all these dairy products, they trade them for other, like, vegetables. They don't really produce vegetables, but they trade them for vegetables and other different things. So if they start giving their butter away to Krishna or to anyone, their husbands will get very upset and very angry. This is our livelihood, and you're just giving it away? They got plenty of butter in their house. Just let them eat that butter. And, you know, there might even be the possibility of divorce. Oh, serious. Although there were no divorce laws in those days, because they were not required. So therefore, Krishna, wanting to reciprocate with their desire in love, but in such a way that they didn't get into trouble with their husbands, he would steal it. That's what he did. And even though Mother Yashoda would make excellent butter, absolutely fabulous, and Krishna would eat some, but as soon as she turned her back, he was out the door, out the window, just out, stealing from the other places. And this is why, as a reciprocation of love. So stealing is bad. It's bad. Shreya does not steal, does she?
No.
No, I'm sure you don't. Good girl. So stealing is bad. But, and it corrupts a person's character. And Krishna steals, but it's good. It's very good. And the men come home in the evening, and you know, they say, okay, what happened? And the wife says, you won't believe it. Krishna came again and stole some more butter. And the husband says, what? Again? Oh no. And the wife says, yes, it's terrible. Although in her heart she's feeling, how wonderful. So you see, this is Krishna, so kind to his devotees. It's amazing. Yeah, it's really amazing. So when Krishna, Prabhupada would say, when Krishna was good, he was good. And when Krishna was bad, he was good. Yes, yes. So, therefore, one devotee prays to Krishna, just as you stole the butter of the older gopis, and just as you stole the yogurt of the older gopis, and even as you stole the clothes of the younger gopis, my dear Lord, please steal my heart. Please steal it. Because if you don't, you know, you're going to have to steal it. Because I'm not strong. I'm weak. And my heart's got this tendency to get all caught up in all nonsense things, and I can't get it out. So you're going to have to steal it. You'll have to steal it. Otherwise, we can't do it. Sorry. Yeah. So when Krishna steals, it's good. And you may, I don't know if you ever saw the, what is it now? The Nandagram DVD we made some years ago. Did you ever see that? Nandagram? It's a nice one. In it, we go to Vrindakund, which is near Nandagram. I mean, just a few 100 meters away or kilometer. So we go there, and Dinabandhu Prabhu, you know him from Vrindavan, he was there. And we videoed him giving a little talk about Krishna and his pastimes with his parents. And he gave a few examples. Well, he told a little story. It goes like this. One day, I think Upananda, who is the, anyway, one of the brothers of Nanda Maharaj, he called all the people in the village for a meeting. Everyone came, what's going on? Why you called us all? And Upananda said, my dear Brijbasis, I have something extremely important to tell you. Something which I've just realized, and it's just so important. I just felt we had to stop everything, so I can tell you. And Upananda said, you know, the thing is this, that our Krishna, I have realized, he is the absolute truth. I've realized it. Because, you see, the Brijbasis, they don't regard Krishna as being God. They regard Krishna as being another little village boy, a very special little village boy, but still a village boy. And they don't see him as God. So Upananda somehow, he got some realization. Krishna's God, wow. So he called everyone. He is the absolute truth. He is the supreme pure. He is the supreme power. I've realized this. So, Mother Yashoda, you have to stop tying him up and threatening him with a stick. And Nanda Maharaj, you have to stop shouting at him and telling him what to do and not do. You have to stop it, because he's a very important person. Very special, highly elevated, exalted person. And Nanda Maharaj interrupted him. Wait a minute. Just hang on. Just hold on a minute. This boy is my son. I know this boy. Listen, you say he is the supreme powerful. What a joke. What a joke. Whenever there's a storm and there's some thunder and lightning at night, he comes running into my room. Daddy, Daddy, I'm frightened. I want to sleep with you. And he has to come into my bed and I have to pacify him. So he's not the supreme powerful. Come on. And him, the supreme, the absolute truth, the supreme truth, please. I know this boy. You know what this boy is like? He is a liar. He's not the supreme truth. You know, we catch him with his hand in the pot of butter, red-handed, and he says, no, it wasn't me, no, somehow this just happened to be him. And we ask him, so, you stole the butter from our neighbors? No, not me. You stole the gopis' clothes? No, I was nowhere near there. And we know he's just a liar. So stop this. Stop this. And you say he's the supreme pure. Oh, please. This boy, we bathe him, put on clean clothes. He's out the door, rolling in the dust. Holding the tail of a calf, being dragged along, and we have to bathe him again and change his clothes. He's not the supreme pure. He is just my son. And if he does some nonsense, I am going to discipline him. So just stop this, Upananda. And Upananda, and well, I can't do it the way Dina Bandhu Prabhu does. I just can't. But he says that Nanda Maharaj then started laughing. just roaring with laughter. Him! The supreme truth! Oh, just roaring with laughter. And the supreme pure! Oh, my Lord! And then all the others started remembering their different pastimes with Krishna and roaring with laughter. And Upananda's looking around, but this is important. And then he started remembering his pastimes with Krishna, and he started laughing. And that's life in Vrindavan. So yes, Krishna, we should pray to Krishna during this month of Kartik, that as you stole the butter from Mother Yashoda, please steal my heart. I really want it so much, and I need it, because I don't know if I can do it myself, because I just got these tendencies to become attached and, attracted to material things. Yes. So Krishna, Krishna's very special like that. We just last night told a little pastime which I'd forgotten about for years. But again, looking at this picture, I was reminded. Little Krishna stealing the butter. And the ladies, of course, they like it. They actually like it when Krishna comes and steals the butter. But they act like they don't like it. And they go to Mother Yashoda and they tell. Sometimes they catch Krishna and just drag him home. Listen, Yashoda, you have to correct your son. I want to see you do it in front of me. Tell him off. Wag your finger at him. He stole the butter again. And so Mother Yashoda says, yes, I'll do it. And she starts. You nonsense. Why are you stealing? I'm going to tie you up again. And going on like this. And then the ladies, and Krishna's there, I'm sure Shreya could do it so nicely. The head down a bit, looking up. Like, starting to cry. That sort of mood. I'm just a little boy. I didn't know. So the ladies now, they're watching this, and there's Mother Yashoda. Yes, don't do this again. And the lady says to her, don't speak to him like that. He's a good boy. Don't shout at him. Don't wag your finger at him. He's nice. And Mother Yashoda says, but you demanded that I chastise him. And the other lady says, no, no, no. He's a nice boy. And Mother Yashoda says, all right, but I'll make sure he doesn't come to your house again. And the lady says, no, he can come any time. There's a nice pastime. They were getting a bit irritated because as the Leela Shakti, the pastime potency, sort of fluctuates and brings up different things and in the course of the pastimes, so sometimes the ladies get irritated externally. So one time they got agitated and irritated and just a bit uptight with Krishna. Because, Krishna sometimes does some naughty things. He doesn't just steal the butter and the yogurt. Sometimes he breaks the pots. Yeah, and just runs away. And sometimes, would you believe this? This is slightly X-rated. Sometimes he urinates in the butter storehouse and runs away. Oh, that's really... Yeah, so they're getting a bit irritated. And they decided, okay, we're going to set up an alarm system. Yeah, an alarm system so that when he comes to steal, the alarm will go off and we'll come and we'll catch him. So they put bells on some of the pots so that if the pot moves at all, ding, 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 the bell will start. So in came Krishna, and he's about to just stick his hand like this, but in a much more serious pot of butter, like a good 10-litre pot, just about. And he noticed the bell. And he understood, wow, if I do this, the bell's going to ring, I'm going to be in trouble. So Krishna, being very intelligent, right? Are you intelligent?
Yes.
I thought so. Thank you. Krishna being very intelligent, you know what he did? He spoke to the bell. That, listen, we're friends. I like you. And I'm just going to do something now. Don't worry what it is. But just make sure you don't ring. And the bell replied, okay, okay, yeah, no problem. So Krishna put his hand in, took some butter. And what happened? The bell didn't ring. And Krishna thought, that's it. We have defeated their system. And this big handful of butter. Then Krishna started eating it. As soon as he put some in his mouth, the bell started ringing. And Krishna said, what? You promised not to ring. Why did you ring? And the bell said, the thing is this. Whenever the Lord eats, whenever there's a boga offering, the bell has to ring. In the temple, if you've ever done a boga offering, you got to ring the bell while offering the food. That's what the bell said. Somehow Krishna escaped, though. And another one I just saw the other day. Krishna was going in to steal butter. And he went inside and into the storehouse. And in the storehouse, there was a big mirror. And in Vedic culture, believe it or not, they don't use mirrors much. They have mirrors, but they're not into mirrors. You know, when you're walking, if you happen to be in a shopping mall sometimes, you walk down and you see some person walking, and there's a shop there. And what do? They're not looking inside. They're looking at themselves, at the reflection. So we have this sort of, you could say, mirror culture in Kali Yuga. When I joined the temple in London, there was only one mirror in the men's ashram. There are like 50 of us. There was one mirror. It was stuck on the wall at about head height for tilak purposes. And it was about that size. It really was. It was not a big mirror at all. It was a really small... It was a fragment of a mirror, actually. Yeah. It was stuck on the wall. And just above it, handwritten on the wall, with like a Koki pen or something, it said, mirror is Maya. Okay. Anyway, so there's Krishna. And there's suddenly this quite big mirror in front of him. And in that culture, they don't really use mirrors much. And, you know, certainly the children would not use mirrors at all. And so Krishna, in terms of the pastime, Krishna didn't know what's a mirror, really. And he's walking along, sneaking along, making sure he's not caught, you know, and so on. And into the storehouse, right, here we are. And he looked around, wow, there's himself in the mirror, just looking at him as he's looking at himself. And Krishna, it's a description given by, I think it's Rupa Goswami, Krishna looks at this mirror image of himself and says, quiet. And in the mirror, well, he doesn't know it's a mirror, he doesn't know what's a mirror, he thinks it's another boy. And the other boy goes like that also. And Krishna says, listen, don't say anything, okay? Don't you say anything. I'll be your best friend. And I will share the butter with you. Just don't say anything. Oh, well. So this is Krishna. Yeah. When Krishna, for example, when Krishna does something, even something drastic, you know, telling a lie is one thing, but how about killing someone? Whew, that's drastic. But when Krishna kills someone, they at least they're liberated. Normally it takes many lifetimes of very demanding endeavor. Oh, really extreme. And many lifetimes to achieve this goal, which is such a high goal. But Krishna kills them, they're liberated on the spot. It's amazing. So when, and there's a story. You know the story of Dhenukasura? Shreya, have you heard of Dhenukasura? What form was he in? Wow, very good. Oh, that's really good. Thank you. So, you know how Krishna killed Dhenukasura? Okay. Actually, he didn't. Balaram killed Dhenukasura. But there's a description in, I think it's Brahma Vaivarta Purana, where Krishna, in some other yuga, some other day of Brahma, some other kalpa, some other time, Krishna killed Dhenukasura. That was a really interesting story. So there's Dhenukasura in the form of a donkey. He's a real demon. And he attacks Krishna and tries to kill Krishna. And while he's fighting with Krishna, you know, naturally he's looking at Krishna, just absorbing his sight in Krishna. And Krishna is entering his mind through his eyes. And you know what happened? Dhenukasura became a devotee in the middle of the battle. Suddenly he just stopped fighting. And he offered obeisances to Krishna. And he offered prayers to Krishna that I'm so terrible, you're so wonderful. And different prayers like this, they're really very nice. And at the end, he says, you know, I've got this demon's body and it's just so horrible. I've had enough. I've just had enough. It's too much. I cannot take it. And he says to Krishna, kill me. Kill me. And Krishna says, no, I can't. You're a devotee. I can't kill the devotee. And Dainagrasura says, don't worry about it. It's okay. Just kill me. Please kill me. And Krishna didn't know what to do. So Krishna covered his consciousness again. And Dainagrasura became a demon again. And Krishna killed him. And he went back to Godhead. So you see, like Prabhupada explains, we offer food to Krishna, and the food is benefited. Food is benefited. Prabhupada explains, at least they should get a human body in the immediate next lifetime. At least a human body. Which otherwise, because the system for elevation is one species at a time. You can't jump over to the human level from some other level. You got to go one species at a time. So those vegetables, that rice, and today I think you're going to have some aloo. You're going to serve prasad, yeah. Maybe you'll get some of the aloo potato. So, Prabhupada makes the point that, you know, at least human birth, and if, you know, the circumstances are really very wonderful, the vegetables may go back to Godhead. Yeah. By the mercy of the Lord. And when you go back to Godhead, as you enter Goloka Vrindavan, this completely amazing place, you may meet one devotee. And the devotee may say, do you remember me? I was that potato that you ate at Atish and Bhavana's place on the 7th of November 2016. Welcome to Goloka Vrindavan. So when Krishna kills, because to eat potato, you got to kill it. To eat like cauliflower, and all, practically all, but most, got to kill it. Some you don't, like you pick an apple, doesn't kill the tree. But, you know, of course you're interfering quite seriously with the tree. But it doesn't kill the tree. But most of these things you have to kill in order to be able to eat them. Your rice, you got to kill it. Your nice dal, you got to kill it. Yeah. But when that happens, by Krishna's mercy, they get a better position. So when Krishna was good, he was good. When Krishna is bad, he's good. Whatever Krishna does is good. Even if on a certain level, material level, it appears inauspicious or not honest or not this, not that, something undesirable. But when Krishna does it, it's good. And this, I think, maybe I forget, Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, gives a whole list of these different types of situations where Krishna does something apparently bad, but it's good. And that's what we're celebrating this month. Krishna as Damodar. Krishna was a naughty boy. He stole the butter and he smashed the pots. Shreya would never think of doing such a thing. Yeah. Because she's good. But Krishna did. And yeah, in this Damodar Leela, it's so good. And it brings out such a good point for our understanding. It brings it out so vividly that we spend the whole month focusing on it. That's pretty good. The whole month. Yeah. So this is our Krishna. He's a very wonderful person. So good that whatever he does is good. So let's meditate on that. Try and appreciate that. Appreciate Krishna's absolute nature. You know, I was listening yesterday. I was watching a YouTube video. You can look it up yourselves. I tell you, it's worth it. A devotee named Tribhuvana, disciple of Srila Prabhupada he's Irish, but he joined in London. But he passed away 2001. And he was just an amazing devotee. He joined when I think he was 18, or maybe he was 17 when he actually joined, moved into the temple. And, well, there are a couple of interesting little points. One was that devotee asked Prabhupada that Srila Prabhupada, sometimes Krishna gives us some difficulty, and it can be a little painful even, like a real challenge, a real test. It can be difficult. And what is this? What is it? And Prabhupada smiled. He smiled very deeply. And Prabhupada said again, I mean, this is arguably, you know, sort of X-ray, not exactly X-ray, but anyway, Prabhupada said, it is just like a boy and a girl together. Sometimes one of them, and Prabhupada gestured, bites the other. And it hurts. But it's an exchange of love. So Prabhupada gave that example. Yeah. Krishna, when he's giving us some test, pushing us a bit, but it's like that. Yeah. It's an exchange of love. It's not like, certainly not being unfair or anything of that sort. And, I mean, not that it's not related, but just a funny little story that he told. He joined the temple and he turned 18. And he was really a young, and he's like a very young looking person. He turned 18. This is in the temple in London, central London, very place. And some of the devotees went to India, because in those days, people with British passports could just go and live in India, and they didn't need a visa to enter, and they could just live for the rest of their lives. That was it. So Prabhupada wanted devotees to go to India, I think it was 71. So these devotees, you know, from England, from London, they went, and there were not many devotees left in the temple. There was only a few. And the temple president, Mukunda Maharaj, who was a householder at the time, he told Tribhuvanath Prabhu that, I'm going to America, some family business or some something. And Tribhuvanath said, but who'll be the president? Who'll, you know, take charge? And Mukunda Maharaj said, you. Why not you? So he did. Like a, almost like a one-man show. A few days later, the BBC came, because Hare Krishna was quite famous in those days in England. And they said, we want to do an interview with your leader. And it was him, 18 years old. So he had to appear on television as the leader of the Hare Krishna movement in England. And he said his parents, he had not told his parents in Ireland that he had become a devotee. They're watching TV a few days later, and there he's the leader of the Hare Krishna movement in England. He's 18 years old. Wow. Anyway, Krishna, I tell you, Krishna does. He's Krishna. You can say many things about Krishna, but Krishna has a sense of humor. He's got a sense of humor. It's amazing. Right. So there you go. Was that interesting, Shaya? Yes. Good. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Mahaprasadam ki jai.